Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Joe Burrow, shotgun snap, launches way down the field, chase, touchdown, Tigers!
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Huge football weekend, rivalry week in the college football world, and then today, more playoff caliber matchups coming your way in the NFL. So all of that we'll get to in this hour of the show. Coming up this morning, we've got Mitch Moss from the Vegas Stats and Information Network. He'll be our Vegas virtuoso this morning, looking at today's NFL lines in approximately 15 minutes from now. Also, later on in the hour, we'll tackle how to try to tackle Lamar Jackson, Utah's perceived lack of respect from the committee, and what is going on in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. All of that, plus, let's look at how good Ryan Day has been in just year one in Columbus and that Ravens-Niners showdown later on today. Let's begin, though, with the wackiest Iron Bowl in recent memory, and that is saying something. We are coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30-plus years of service. Only man to shoot down three enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
I would never say that Nick Saban is over the hill. I would never say that the Alabama greatness is over, because Saban's been doing it for such a high level for so long, it seems crazy to call that out right now, suddenly. But there is a very disturbing trend for Alabama football over the last couple of years. The last year, they've been blown to pieces by Clemson in the national championship game, unable to slow down or stop LSU at home in Tuscaloosa after a bye, and then losing the Iron Bowl because, once again, their defense got shredded and they made mistakes mentally on the field. Combine that with nearly losing to Georgia last year in the SEC title game, which would have happened had they not had kind of a stroke of luck of Tua actually being injured in the game, and the national championship game a couple of years ago against Georgia, where Tua coming in as a freshman changed everything in the second half of the fourth quarter. All of that showed you that Alabama was vulnerable against the best teams in college football. But what was weird this year was that on top of it, they were one of the worst teams from a penalty standpoint in the country. They ranked 113th in the nation in penalties. And we saw them make mistakes, very unbecoming, and mistakes that we never really see from Alabama against LSU. And then again yesterday against Auburn, 12 men on the field. You've got pick sixes, two of them going the other way. Ill-timed, ill-advised turnovers, mistakes. Another huge missed kick at the end of the game, doinks off the left upright. You have to ask the question, how did Alabama become so sloppy in big games?
Snap is down, the kick is on the way, and the kick, he missed it!
He missed it!
It hit the upright! It hit the upright! And with 2 minutes to go, Auburn will get the ball back, leading by three! Wow! Can you believe it? Did Alabama move? Did Alabama get offside?
Illegal participation.
Oh, Alabama's got too many men on the field. That will give Auburn a first down, I think. I don't see a flag on the play.
Yes!
There is your first down. Alabama is out of timeouts.
Game, set, match.
I really feel that it was pretty unfair play at the end of the game. They substituted the punter as a wide receiver. So we put the punt team in. And then when the quarterback was still in there, we tried to put the defense back in. I thought they should have given us a little more time to substitute and get Waddle out as a returner. We get called for 12 guys on the field.
Andy Burcham, Auburn IMG Sports on your play-by-play calls. Bad look for Nick Saban to be calling it unfair. Look, I think at the end of the first half, that seemed dodgy at best that they were able to pull off that 1 second field goal and Saban goes crazy and melts down. Then late in that game, obviously, they get the 12 men on the field penalty. But, you know, Nick Saban, who has collected hardware, national championships, 5-star recruits and huge wins, calling anything unfair on the field sounds like a little baby, let's face it. But at the end of the day, this is not about unfair officiating or putting the screws to Alabama. This is now a trend. And I think that the Crimson Tide are still going to be really good because Saban's still really good and because they're still going to get really good talent and have really deep resources. But Alabama has come back to the pack, and it's weird to see them shoot themselves in the foot. And I think what we've seen is other teams close the talent gap, other teams close the coaching gap, and now Alabama isn't that much better than everybody else. They're not a full lap ahead, and so those little things can be the things that get them beat, and this year they did. Alabama played 2 really good opponents this year, lost them both. That tells you a lot about the Crimson Tide right now, and the fact that they've looked sloppy in big games makes you wonder about where Saban is and how long he can do it at that level in his career. In the game, the big game, there was one big team. That was Ohio State, who once again took Michigan behind the woodshed. And can we start talking about just how great Ryan Day has been in year number one?
Fields in the shotgun, gets the snap. Looks to throw, looking left, running left, still holding the ball as if to throw. Cranks and fires toward the end zone. Wilson's got it for a touchdown. Garrett Wilson, the Buckeye freshman receiver, underneath a pass from Justin Fields, just back in off of injury, a 30-yard touchdown pass.
Coming off of last week's game, you know, nobody's going to really talk about all that much, but that was an emotional win. That was a tough win. I mean, Penn State's a top 10 win, and then we had to turn around and come back and play in this game, which is the hardest played game we play every year. And so the way that we, you know, Coach Mick and the coaching staff got our guys ready to go physically and mentally and emotionally for this game, it's a credit to everybody involved. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard to go 12-0. And I'm, you know, really proud of everybody.
It is the tale of two coaches. That was Paul Keels, Learfield IMG College, on the play-by-play call. Ryan Day after the game. Tale of two coaches here. Ryan Day stepped into the shoes of one of the greatest college football coaches ever, who had elevated Ohio State Buckeyes football once again to one of the catbird seats in the nation. Stepped in for that guy and might have made him better. Inherited a quarterback situation with a first-year transfer starting quarterback. And they might be better. They had a season that ended with Penn State and then Michigan on the road. They might have been better. They're undefeated. They're the number one team in the country. They're balanced. They're well coached. They're explosive. They got a solid defense. There's not a lot of holes, if any, on Ohio State. Ryan Day deserves so much credit because this Ohio State team somehow elevated after Urban Meyer left last year. On the other side, Jim Harbaugh getting testy and refusing to answer a question about why Ohio State continues to kick your ass with they played better is such a clown move. For 364 days a year, Harbaugh wants the attention. Harbaugh wants to be a caricature. He wants to be Woody. He wants to be Bo. He wants to be his dad. He wants to bring back the 10-year war. He wants to wear old funky glasses and a retro hat. He wants to sleep in tree houses and on couches and throw footballs around the Vatican. Harbaugh wants the attention 364 days a year. But on the day every year, set your watch to it, he gets his butt kicked by Ohio State. There's no answers. There's no answers. Then he gets testy about the questioning. You'd think the alumni, the fans, the media might want to know why Ohio State's this much better. I mean, the Buckeyes dropped 62 on you last year, and this year nearly did it again. If they wanted to, they would have. This Buckeyes team has dropped 120 points nearly in 2 years on you, and you just want to say, well, they played better. Oh, I think it's a little bit more than that. I think you owe the fans and the media and the boosters and the alumni. I think you owe those people maybe just a little bit more of an explanation besides they played better. Because you know what? It's not just that. They coach better. They play better. They have better talent. They take it more seriously. They're going to a college football playoff. They compete for national championships. You don't do any of those things. So it's not just about them playing better every year. It's about so much more. So much more. And for Harbaugh to get testy and suddenly clam up with no answers when every other day of the year he loves the microphone is such a joke. His old team, the 49ers, are looking for a Super Bowl appearance. And they'll take on his brother's team, John Harbaugh, in what could be a Super Bowl matchup later on today.
Both teams have had a real good season so far. I think both teams are playing at a very high level. Everyone knows what both teams' records are. And I think we've got some similar styles in how we've been successful too. Playing good defense and running the ball well. And both teams being pretty efficient in the pass game. So it's exciting to be here and I'm excited to get to the game on Sunday.
I'm really thankful for these guys. Just the fact that their attitude, you know, their effort and their attitude, the joy they bring to work every day. You know, that's what coaching, that's what we do it for. You know, we're not coming in here not to be happy, right?
That was Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh ahead of today's matchup. It's going to be very weird to see this game in the middle of the day. It feels like it should be the Sunday night game, obviously, but instead it's Patriots and Texans on Sunday night. It's not even one of the 4:05 or 4:25 kickoffs in the late window Eastern time. Instead, it's a 1 o'clock Eastern time kick on Fox, Ravens and Niners from Baltimore. So it's going to feel weird to have this kind of heavyweight matchup this early in the day. But if there's going to be a defense that can slow down Lamar Jackson on a day to slow him down, it's going to be today. The Niners defense is athletic. It's powerful. It moves well, and it moves with power deep in the trenches, and it's going to be a rainy, mucky day today in the Northeast. A lot of snow or freezing rain or sleet, a lot of precipitation and cold temperatures across the Northeast. So for Lamar Jackson, is that going to be the thing that slows him down today? It's a tremendous matchup, and obviously these two teams are both good enough to get to a Super Bowl. I think the Ravens, I would bet on more because of the AFC. It feels like it's just the Ravens and the Patriots, where in the NFC, the Niners have a lot to contend with. The Saints are excellent. The Seahawks are excellent. The Packers and Vikings are very good. And I think that the Niners have a tougher road to go through in getting to a Super Bowl than the Ravens. But today is a really good barometer of where they match up. And if Lamar Jackson torches the Niners defense, I'm not so certain there's anybody left in the NFL that you can count on being able to slow him down. Your phone number is 855-212-4227 on Twitter. Hit me up, DA on CBS, when we come back. Our Vegas virtuoso, Mitch Moss from the Vegas Stats and Information Network, to look ahead to today's NFL lines. That includes Ravens by 5.5 today. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mitch Moss returns as our Vegas virtuoso from VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Mitch, good morning.
DA, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
You too, my friend. Let's start with the big one today. Niners and Ravens in Baltimore. A 5.5 point line. The Ravens are favored by 5.5 at home. Do you think that's a little bit too wide of a line for a really good Niners team?
Well, okay, so I would say that we can probably pretty much all agree on the top three or four teams in the NFL. Certainly the Ravens and the 49ers would be in the group at this point. The thing with the Ravens is, I mean, if you're betting against them recently, you get taken out in a body bag. They are absolutely just falling teams, as we all know. And by the way, good teams, too. I mean, ever since that game against Seattle, the run they've been on against the Patriots to take out the Texans like they did, and last week on Monday night, and these games are over with a lot of times at halftime or early third quarter. But the way that this game breaks down is, I mean, this, you can run on the 49ers defense. And the Ravens, obviously, they have the best run team in the entire NFL. They're on pace to set the all-time record for most rushing yards in the entire season. But it's also historical what the Niners defense is doing against the pass. I know Lamar's the front runner right now for the MVP, and there's going to be some potential weather issues today. Looks like some rain, maybe some slight wind as well in the Baltimore area today. Laying 6 against a team as good as San Francisco right now is a bit steep to me. Baltimore's been the story of the entire year, but I could not lay 6 right now with Lamar and company.
Browns and Steelers, obviously a rematch of the crazy melee game from a couple of weeks ago, and on the road, the Browns are a 2-point favorite. Does this indicate that Vegas is starting to jump back on the Browns bandwagon?
I think maybe a little bit, and their schedule was setting up to them, you know, when people were freaking out and jumping ship like 3 weeks ago. Well, when you look at the schedule and who they were playing, a playoff run certainly wasn't out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, now it's whether or not you like the quarterback here for the Steelers in Duck Dynasty. I actually do. I think it's an upgrade over Mason Rudolph. I think Mason Rudolph is maybe the worst quarterback in the entire league. Mm. He can't play a lick. So this kid, I don't think, is a downgrade at all. And the Steelers in same-season rematches against divisional foes, and at home against Cleveland over the years, they've just been so dominant. And whenever you watch this team playing, you look at the numbers, their defense is absolutely the real deal. So I know they only played a couple of weeks ago. It's bizarre when the league does this. They put them against each other again only a couple of weeks later on. But I like Pittsburgh here in this game. I have faith in this team shutting down the Browns' offense, and I think they can outscore them today.
Mitch Moss joins us, our Vegas virtuoso, this morning. Jets and Bengals in Cincinnati. No playoff ramifications here, but the Jets are on a little bit of a roll. They're scoring a lot of points, and the Bengals are 0-11. So why are the Jets only a 3-point favorite on the road today?
Well, I think because of the Bengals making the decision to go back to Andy Dalton, and you've also seen an uptick here in the total DA, where it was last Sunday hovering around 39.5. Obviously, this Bengals offense was filming a quarterback. Well, it doesn't matter who the quarterback's been this year. They've been pretty awful. But that was 39.5, and now because of Dalton going back in, the total's gone up at least 3 points. I'm looking at 42.5 or 43. So I think the thought is here with Dalton, they're serviceable on offense. They can actually score with the Jets. But the Jets' offense, I know that the run that this team is on, they're not exactly beating the Patriots here or the juggernaut to the league, Giants, Redskins, Raiders, but they've scored 34 points in each of those games, and they just – They pass the eyeball test. They have the best rush defense in football. I'm with you on this. I think the number's a little bit light. I think they're on a roll, and maybe Sam Darnold wasn't so crazy a couple of weeks ago when he said their playoff hopes were alive.
I know the Packers look terrible against the Niners, but the Packers are a legitimately good team and the Giants are a legitimately bad team. But the Packers are only favored by 6.5 in this game on the road in New York. Is that because of the weather situation in the Northeast today?
That might have a little bit to do with it. And this is another game with a total. Last week was 47, now all the way down to 43. And as you know, you're looking at the potential win there, some flurries for this game today. To me, this is going to be a total square play. And the public is all over Green Bay today. I've seen some sports books, by the way, say that it could be the biggest decision of the entire year in this game. I looked at the game from last week against the Niners, and to me, that's just it's a bad matchup for the Packers. They could play like 10 times. I think the Niners would beat them like 8 or 9 times. I think they match up really well with the Packers. This, to me, screams where the Packers' offense is going to get extremely healthy today. They're going to do what they want on offense against a bad defensive team. Their defense actually could get to Daniel Jones as well. And people are going to say now, after last week's performance, hey, look, Packers aren't that bad, when it's going to lead to a lot of fake optimism. False optimism, in my opinion, because the Giants are just so awful. I think the Packers probably score, 30, 35 points if they want to.
Chiefs and Raiders AFC West matchup in Kansas City later on today. And the Raiders are a pretty good team, and they're an 11-point underdog in this game. What do you think about such a huge line for the Chiefs today?
I know, it is gigantic, and the reason why is because, I'll give you one example, the Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas, their Sunday morning action report told me that the public and sharps are all over the Chiefs in this game, so that's why it's gone up to where it is right now at 11. They can't get any buyback on the Raiders at all, the way it appears right now, and the total of this game, again, that's kind of the story of the week with the weather and these totals dropping. This opened up 54.5. Down to 49.5 right now, but I'm with you. I mean, the Chiefs have the worst run defense in football. Gruden getting the ball right away. His scripted plays have been incredible this year. Josh Jacobs is the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year. They have a good offensive line. I know Andy Reid is incredible off the bye, and he's done really well against the Raiders in his time. The second time that they play of the season, but with that running game and Derek Carr, the Dinky, the Duncan, catching 11 points for a team that's pretty decent on the season, that's a lot. I'd have to go with Oakland here.
It's a big number. Finally, Patriots and Texans tonight. This one's in Houston. Patriots are a 3-point favorite on the road in Houston. We know the Patriots offense is really struggling. How do you handicap a Patriots team where defensively they can really shut down anybody, but offensively they struggle so much?
Yeah, it's difficult because we haven't seen this out of this team in so long. We're all expecting, where's this big James White game coming from, right? Like, isn't he due for 8 catches for 73 yards and 2 touchdowns and for him to explode? But they just can't get it rolling right now. And then you have, on top of that, you have this report that came out, during the week, back into the week, where a lot of the players were sick. I've seen this morning, not that big of a deal now. Looks like backup tight end Ryan Izzo, the only player that's been ruled out. Of all the other players that were named in the flu, and by the way, they took 2 different planes, I guess, and they flew to Houston for this, the sick people and the healthy people. Gilmore, Wynn, Hightower, Collins, that looks like they're all going to go. The thing is, it's still Bill Belichick against Bill O'Brien, and Belichick is absolutely owning the series, and to me, it doesn't matter if guys actually have the cold or not. It is Brady, and it's his team. They've owned Houston, and they're going to have something dialed up defensively, and they're going to look. I'll probably make Deshaun Watson look pedestrian. And look at what Gilmore did last week. He was great against Gilmore. And now this week he takes on DeAndre Hopkins. And who knows? He might do the same exact thing.
It's great to know that Robert Kraft has all of those Patriots charter jets, because one is just a quarantine bus, basically, for the kids with the flu. Hey, before I let you go, if you had to throw cash on who the fourth team in the college football playoff will be 1 week from now, who are you guessing?
If Georgia wins, they're in. I think that's probably obvious to almost everybody.
Right.
If they don't win, I don't know. I would lean Utah, but what if Utah wins and what if Oklahoma blows out Baylor? I'm not going to be surprised if the committee gives the exit to Tunis because of the brand name. I'd like to see, Utah, the little guy, right? I'd like to see them get in at 12-1 if they can do that next week, but this weekend, it's absolutely fascinating. As of right now, I'd say Georgia would get in.
So you think, though, that if Georgia wins, they keep LSU in the playoff as well, that 2 SEC teams would be in the Final Four?
Yes, and then Ohio State and Clemson would be the other 2. Yep, how about you?
I think you're right. I think they would keep LSU in if Georgia won. I I think the right thing to do is to put Utah in that fourth slot, assuming that they beat Oregon, because I don't think Oklahoma deserves to be in this conversation with how bad they've looked at times over the last month, month and a half. I mean, they've blown huge leads. They've been down by 25 points to Baylor. They've gagged away three touchdown leads in the fourth quarter to Iowa State. I mean, to me, they don't belong in this conversation, but I just wonder about brand recognition. And out of Baylor, Oklahoma, and Utah, Oklahoma's the one that brings that brand recognition to the committee, and they might just opt that way.
I 100% agree. That's my biggest fear of this whole thing. If Utah wins and they're impressive, Georgia loses, and if Oklahoma wins and they're impressive, I don't want to see them in it because I could not agree more, DA. I don't think Oklahoma should be in the conversation with Utah, but I'm not going to be stunned next week if we're sitting here talking about how the Sooners somehow got in.
Listen to Mitch Moss on Follow the Money weekdays, 7 to 10 Eastern Time on VSiN, the Vegas Sports and Information Network. You could follow him on Twitter as well, at Mitch Moss Radio. He's our Vegas virtuoso this morning. As always, bud, I love catching up with you, man. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, DA. You too.
Mitch Moss joining us, our Vegas virtuoso this morning. When we come back here on the show, we've got Tony Dungy on how can you slow down Lamar Jackson, something the Niners will try to do today. Tim Brando on Utah and whether they're going to get enough respect if they do beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. And what is going on with Carson Wentz? That's all coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. This is Sunday Morning Football.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
Today, the NFL on CBS doubleheader. Action begins with Baker and the Browns taking on the Steelers, with the winner staying in the hunt for that last AFC wildcard spot, followed by a key AFC West matchup between the Raiders and the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Glad you're back with us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio every single Sunday morning as we break down college football action from Saturdays and NFL action on Sundays. You can always watch us as well on any device, anywhere, at watchda.com. Let's begin your insider segment with Pro Football Hall of Fame head coach Tony Dungy. Now, Tony was the coordinator and the mastermind behind some of the best offenses, some of the best defenses, rather, of the 90s and early 2000s. When he took over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he immediately turned that Buccaneers defense into a ferocious outfit, one of the best in the NFL. And so a guy that also was part of the Steelers team to the 70s, I asked Tony, what will it take for somebody to finally slow down MVP favorite Lamar Jackson?
It's tough because you've got to have so many rules in place for their running game. And it's not a standard run game that, hey, I just have this gap and I control this gap. Options, what happens when nobody blocks you? If you're a defensive end and nobody blocks you, what do you do? You're a defensive tackle and no one blocks you, what do you do? Who do you take, the quarterback or the running back? You've got to play your safety so tight to the line of scrimmage to handle all these running plays. And, you know, the Rams did that last night, and they still ran for 285 on them. And then you take all these chances and you open up the passing game. It's very difficult, and he puts a lot of stress on defenses.
Do you think eventually this season there will be defenses that slow them down or figure it out, or does this feel like right now they're just rolling and there's no answers for it?
I think what you're going to see is a lot. You know, we always have college coaches come to pro training camps and visit and try to get ideas. You're going to have a lot of pro coaches going to college campuses this offseason, going to Alabama and Texas A&M, and, hey, what do you do against these read option, all of these RPO situations? I think you're going to see those type of things. And I think people will come to slow it down next year. But I think this year it's going to be tough sledding on the defense.
Lamar Jackson gets a stiff test today. He's at home against a really good 49ers defense, especially in the wind and the sleet and the wet weather as well. So let's see if the Niners could do something that so few teams are able to do. I will say that for Lamar Jackson, one of the things that you love to see about the way that he's growing right now and evolving is that he is not content on just being a runner. And I think so many times really dynamic mobile quarterbacks always are reliant on the run to escape out of any problems. And Lamar Jackson's really trying to make himself into a great passer as well. So it's pretty amazing because when you look at Lamar Jackson, his running has been phenomenal. He is ninth in the league in rushing. Ninth in the league, just as a running back. That's how many yards he has. But he also is developing such a good arm and big playability with his arm, and that's really making things difficult on all these defenses that he's playing. I think that he's going to be phenomenal for the rest of the season, but that it's not ever going to look this easy. That eventually all defenses adjust and he'll be forced to adjust as well to keep up this type of success rate. Now, Tim Brando is a longtime college football voice, has been a play-by-play voice and host around college football for decades. And as a guy that has called a number of Pac-12 games this year, I asked him about whether the pollsters, the nation, the committee at large is going to give Utah enough respect come decision day.
We would rather somebody give us a reason not to have to worry about teams that we don't generally care about because they're not from a densely populated area. And that, again, as I said, it's really troublesome to me to see this taking place. People don't know about them because they're playing out in Utah. A lot of their games are at 11 o'clock at night Eastern. I've done them two of the last 4 weeks. This is a great football team with great players on it. Their defense is fantastic. Kyle Whittingham is a great coach, exemplary. But, this system, this flawed system, is just looking down its nose at Utah.
Utah does not play a brand of football that is appetizing to the audience at large. They play a great defense and a methodical, grinded-out offensive football led by Zach Moss. And they don't have the brand. They don't have, even in the Pac-12, the brand of an Oregon or a USC. And so they've got two strikes against them. They don't play pretty football, and they don't have the brand. But if you're asking me, if Utah beats the Ducks next week, they should be the fourth team in, assuming that LSU beats Georgia. And finally, Sam Monson, senior NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. I asked Sam what exactly he's seeing on film as he grades out all of these games, which underscores just why Carson Wentz has struggled so badly.
There were multiple plays where you just wondered what was happening, whether it was missing a wide open running back in the flat on a pass that you or I could make, or whether it was just dithering in the pocket and taking a sack where there's a wide open guy in the flat for a check down. You know, I don't think the offensive line is playing incredibly well right now, but it's not the reason that he's playing that badly or looks that uncomfortable. I think for whatever reason, Carson Wentz is just in a weird rut right now that he hasn't been able to claw his way out of. And, you know, his play under pressure is bad. He hasn't been able to make the kind of big plays on third and fourth down that he's made. All of the bad things being magnified right now, and the good things that usually offset that have evaporated.
Injuries have hurt Wentz. Offensive line has hurt Wentz. But you know what else has hurt Carson Wentz? I think his lack of confidence. And I wonder, by being a small school guy, an FCS guy, coming into the league, he already had maybe in the very back of his mind, hey, can I do this at this level? Against guys that played at Alabama, LSU, USC, Texas, etc. Can I do it against guys that have won national championships, against Ohio State, against players that are that great? And then you add on to it that when he was injured, having a great season, it was his backup that came in. The offense didn't miss a beat. Might have dinged his confidence a little bit more. And then having the guys in that locker room love Nick Foles. The city loves Nick Foles. There's a freaking statue outside that he has to see every single day about Nick Foles. Starts getting into his head about how great he thought he could be versus how great he actually is versus where his confidence level is today. And then you add on to it injuries in an offensive line that's problematic and maybe a bit of a hangover as well for that franchise 2 years later after the Super Bowl. And I just think Carson Wentz is showing that he doesn't have right now that ability to mentally make all the right plays every single time that it must be made. And it is, as Sam said, evaporating kind of in front of us. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
Tonight, the Texans and Patriots will play indoors in Houston, assuming that the roof is closed, but there's still going to be a 75% chance that Bill O'Brien gets dunked on by Bill Belichick. I mean, the one thing you can count on is Bill O'Brien having some type of coaching gaffe every week. And that gaffe can get turned into a clown show by Belichick when he takes advantage of it. I mean, I just feel like we are set up for, again, a game like last week against the Cowboys, where if you went down on paper, you said, boy, the Texans have a great chance of winning this game, and they're at home, and familiarity, these are the types of games the Patriots lose when former Patriots assistant coaches or players are on the other sideline. But I just don't trust Bill O'Brien at all in this slot, and it's going to take Deshaun Watson having kind of a singular great performance, in my mind, for the Texans to pull off this upset. They're a 3-point favorite tonight. Main time in Baltimore. Temperatures in the 40s. It's rainy. Could be sleeting. And a 60% chance that we actually see Lamar slow down and look a little mediocre today. I think the combination of a great Niners defense and this weather, it's not going to look as brilliant and as breathtaking and as dazzling as it has been in recent weeks for Lamar Jackson. He's going to come back down to earth a little bit today. Now, let's see how the Ravens respond if he does. A note, though, from the 49ers. If Garoppolo wins this game, we just got to talk about Garoppolo as a winner. Because career-wise right now, he is 18-3 as a starter. 18-3. If he wins today on the road against Baltimore and bad weather against Lamar Jackson, you know, that's going to have to be part of the narrative, part of the story. And finally, in Pittsburgh, also cloudy, rainy, 40-degree temperatures with a 90% chance that the Browns lack discipline today. You just know. After Freddie Kitchens looks like a clown and wears the Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt, this Browns team is perfectly set up for back-breaking, bone-crushing penalties, turnovers, and mistakes on the road against a Steelers defense that creates a lot of turnovers, against a Steelers defense that is their strength, and especially Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, this guy has been such a difference maker since the Steelers traded for him. I would imagine that he gets at least one turnover today as the Steelers defense flexes on a sloppy Browns offense. That is your football forecast. That Niners and Ravens game has so many tasty anecdotes and factoids in the middle of it. The NFL expanded to 16 games back in 78. In the previous 41 seasons where it was possible with 16 games, the Niners have gone 15-1 only once. And right now they're 10-1. Can they finish this thing off and go 15-1 again? I doubt it. They've got a tough stretch down the stretch. Today is one of those games in Baltimore. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, your executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Dave Shepard, Shep on the Wheels of Steel, and Justin Shackle on your headlines. Sam Rubinoff on WatchDA.com with a simulcast. I'm DA. Enjoy football, everyone.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.